Anyway, so this morning we're going to look at, this is the second to last of our series in Loving Our Church. So far we've looked at belonging, we've looked at being committed and being part of the family and making sure that we acknowledge our family. We talked about welcoming, making room for people and being generous of spirit and of heart to people who come in and all of that. We looked at gathering as well, the importance of the gathering, of us coming together on Sundays, not missing out, coming to be a part of it, to share with everybody else as well, because you would be missed if you're not here, because we all need to be together to do that, to listen, to sing and to pray and encourage one another. We talked about caring, didn't we, and about how we need to look out for one another and help restore each other and pray for one another and bearing one another's burdens and things like that. That's what we talked about with that week. And we've talked about serving, how we need to be motivated by the mercy that God, the way Christ has come to serve us. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. And we need to serve in God's house. And we all need to get involved in that. And it's a real challenge for us. However old we are, we need to get stuck into it. Sometimes we are, or however young we are, however experienced or inexperienced we are, we all need to serve each other with the heart of Jesus, using the gifts that God has given us. And then last week, we looked at following leaders and listen to what God has to say, the appointed leaders. That's why we have to be careful how we choose our leaders, how we put them into place. And we need to listen to what God is saying through them and encourage them and make their work a joy. Because if everyone's joyful, then it makes a lot better sort of ship, as it were, that's going along, doesn't it? So that's where we've been so far. And this week and next week, we're going to look more outwards. This week, we're going to look at witnessing, as Mandy's already said. And next week, we're going to be looking at sending, a missionary, being a missionary church. Or next time we meet together, we're going to do that anyway. So, this week is witnessing, and it's very appropriate, as we've already said, with the baptisms tonight. Mandy's already said, four people who will stand up and witness about what Jesus has done for them in a very public way. And sometimes we think that witnessing is all about that. And when we hear a preacher or somebody or the pastor or anyone else talk about evangelism or witnessing, oh, crumbs, our hearts get a little bit heavy because there's a sense of, I'm not very good at this. And it's very embarrassing. And I always say the wrong words. And, you know, quite honestly, I haven't witnessed to anyone for ages, as far as I'm aware. I haven't spoke to anyone about Jesus, perhaps for years. And there's a sense then, Satan's really good at making us feel guilty about that. And we could go. And so the last thing I want for us this morning is that you go away feeling guilty about what, you know, the witnessing that you haven't done. OK, this is about encouraging us to be witnesses and to be what we are, really, and be that balloon full of air, not hot air, but full of air that Mandy was throwing about here this morning. And I did think that was going to go into the pool at one point, but we're all right with that. Again, Mandy's covered some of this. She's took some of my thunder this morning. I'll have to have a word with her. But anyway, what is witnessing? The first title for this morning, what then is witnessing? And we've already heard it's the example of a courtroom. If you stand up in court, and I've been in court many times, I have to tell you, I'm really sorry. I don't know if you'd have known that, you might not have appointed me as your pastor. But fortunately, I used to work in the court sometimes as well. I worked in a solicitor's office, and sometimes I used to get to go to the court and listen to all the evidence and things when they couldn't be bothered going. They'd send the minion, that was me, and I'd go and take notes for them and things when it was in the early part of the case, because they usually had a barrister who was leading it, and all he wanted was notes and things off me. But I was fascinated by all of it. And the judge, they're so frightening, aren't they? Have you ever been? I don't know if you've ever been to court. Don't put your hand up. But if you've ever been to court and been, especially if you're the accused, the judge in his courtroom is the absolute ruler. You do not do anything he doesn't want you to do in his courtroom. He is the ruler of everything there. And so, you know, and he gets really upset if you do. And it's contempt, and you could be fined or imprisoned if you do that, speak wrongly or whatever. And so that's kind of the way it is. And in a very real way, when you go as a witness, it can be a little bit frightening because you're in this kind of environment. And they say, okay, so tell us what happened. So you explain what happened as far as you could see it. And then you might say, and I really thought he was going to do this, and I thought that was going to happen. You say, oh, well, we're not interested in what you think. What we're interested in is what you've seen and what you've heard. Because they're the facts. We don't know what you think might have happened, or you understood by it, or how did you interpret that. We're not interested in that. That's up for the jury to do that. All we want you to do is to tell us exactly what you saw and exactly what you heard, and no more. That's what being a witness is all about. And I think that applies to us as Christians. When we talk about evangelism, Jesus never calls us all to go and be evangelists. Evangelists are a different breed altogether. Evangelists can't stop talking about Jesus all the time. Evangelists make us all feel uncomfortable at times. Evangelists are like Paul. If we had Paul, the Apostle Paul, in our church, we would all feel really uncomfortable with him being here, because he would bash it all the time in the most inappropriate times, and he would make us all feel terrible because we weren't going out and doing those things, because that's an evangelist. They just can't help it. It's a gift that God gives them. And they seem to be, evangelists wear sandwich boards out in the street. Evangelists do all those things. We'll stand in the street and speak the gospel to people. So that's the gift of an evangelist. Now, what God calls us to be is witnesses. Acts 1 verse 8 says what? You will be my evangelists. No, it doesn't. It says you will be my witnesses in Judea, in your Judea, in your Samaria, and to the utmost parts of the earth. But you will be my witnesses. You will tell them what you've seen and heard about me in your life. That's what being a witness is all about. Okay, so we need to get that straight as we start. In the Bible, there are loads of examples of this. It is though the writers, there's lots of them. I've got a few on the screen there that you can follow up. John 3, verse 32, Jesus testifies, he says, what he's seen and heard of God. I'm only coming here, he says. So Jesus does this to tell you what I've seen and heard with my own two eyes and two ears about my Father in heaven. Jesus does it. In Acts 4, 20, the disciples are out speaking about Jesus in the marketplace. They get hauled before the rulers and authorities. They get threatened with all kinds of imprisonment and beatings and everything else. In fact, they do get beaten up. And they say, and they get told, you must stop doing this. And the disciples, what do they say? We can't help telling people what we've seen and heard about Jesus. We obey God rather than man as far as that's concerned. Seen and heard again. That's what they were. And actually, later on, it remarks that the people took note that they were like this because they'd been with Jesus. The more they got to know Jesus, the more they were ready to speak about what they'd seen and heard. We'll look at that in a second. Revelation 22, John's revelation in verse 8. He says, these things I've told you might be mad and weird. If you ever read Revelation, those pictures and things like that, we might look at that one day, apocalyptic in nature. It's really hard to understand. But John says, hey, listen, I saw this and I heard this myself. I'm a witness to these things. So even when it's crazy, we tell the truth. We tell what we've seen and heard. Luke 7, 22, John the Baptist's disciples go to Jesus and John's in prison. And they say, are you the Messiah? Are you the one we're waiting for? Or is there someone else? We're not quite sure because there's some things you're saying we're not sure about. And Jesus says, look at what you've seen. See what the works I've done. Listen to the words that I say and go back and tell him what you think. Go back and tell him. Tell him what you've seen and heard. And then he'll know. And Luke 2 and verse 20, the final one. The Christmas shepherds in the field, they hear the angels. And they go down into Bethlehem. And they see the baby Jesus born, Son of God, come to earth. And they realise it's all true. And they went back rejoicing, telling everyone who would listen about what they'd seen and heard. All over scripture, it's there, isn't it? And I wonder what story we've got to say. We've all got a story about what we've seen and heard of Jesus. We might not think it's very spectacular. But many of us, I wonder, I've said this before here, I wonder if you were able to tell me this morning, we were to write it down, when you became a Christian, when you started following Jesus, right? Roughly the year. You might not know the month and the date and the time. You might do. But, roughly the year when you start. I wonder if we added up all the years in this room that we've all been following Jesus. It'd be a lot of years, wouldn't there? Loads of years. Loads of experiences. Loads of life's up and downs. Loads of times of doubt and fear and worry and stress and pain. Loads of joy and celebration. And Jesus has been in them all. What have you seen or heard of Jesus in all of that? We've all got something we can be a witness about. We've all seen and heard something. It might not seem spectacular because most people's witness actually isn't. Most people's witness is not spectacular. It might be great for us, but it's a story you may have heard many times before. But it doesn't matter. We've all got a story to tell. And that's our witnesses. And as I said before, Acts 1 verse 8 says, it doesn't say if you want to, you can go out and be my witnesses. He says, listen, when you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, when you are empowered with the one that's coming from on high, in other words, when you become a Christian and you're filled with the Spirit, and God's Holy Spirit lives in you, otherwise you wouldn't be a Christian, then he says, you will be my witnesses. The question is, what sort of witness will you be? But you'll all be a witness of some sort. Wherever you go, you'll be witnessing about Jesus. And sometimes when we witness, we don't even know we're doing it. Because, and we'll look at that in a second, because the way we live our lives, the way we react to the same things everyone else is going through, but the way we deal with it is slightly different. And we're not doing anything special. We're just being a Christian. We're just trusting in what we know. And it makes a difference. So that's what being a witness is all about. You will be my witness in this thing. So that's what being a witness is. It's not being evangelism. It's not feeling guilty about the fact that I don't go door knocking, or I don't stop every person in the street that I see and turn every conversation miraculously around to Jesus. That's not what being a witness is. Some of you may be gifted in that. But what God has called us all to be is witnesses, because we've all got a story to tell. What's yours? Don't say that, what's yours, in a pub, because somebody will say, I'll have whatever. You know, you don't say that, do you? What's yours? What's your story? Witnessing, then, comes from the heart. That's where, in the passage James read for us, Peter talks about the fact that he's living in an age where, if you read the whole of the letters to Peter, he's writing to people living in an age where it's very similar to ours, where, like all ages have been, where most people reject anything to do with Christian faith. And most people would regard perhaps in certainly in Peter's day, like ours, that if you're a Christian, you're on the wrong side of the argument all the time. Okay, what you think about certain things is not the way everyone else thinks, so therefore you're wrong and we're all right. And that kind of sometimes can get through to us, kind of make us feel isolated and what have you. But Peter's writing to people who are living like that and will eventually be persecuted for all of that. That's what these people will go through. And Peter says, so in other words, in order to be a witness in an age like that, in a culture like that, in a place like that, witnessing has to start from your relationship with Jesus, from your heart. But in your hearts, it says, verse 15 of the chapter, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. This is a key verse for us. And it's probably on the screen, you should have done it. It should have some of the words underlined. Because they're the words we're going to look at this morning briefly. It's a key verse. Peter writes, as I say, to a world just like ours. But Peter says we need to be different. We need to know that we've got a hope that the rest of the world doesn't have in particular. That's how he's taught. Most of the letters to Peter are about this wonderful hope that we have, that Jesus gives us because we're following him. When we don't think like the world. We think with the hope that Jesus gives us. There's hope for eternity and hope for today, hope for tomorrow. There's always hope. Not a maybe hope, but a certain and sure hope that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ's going to come again. He's with us every day. He's my shepherd, and I know my life is in his hands. That's the hope that I have. It's certain. So I may go be battered by the tide and the winds and the waves and everything else, but I do know that Christ is with me. He's in the boat with me. And I'm going to get to the end or whatever. You know, he's my lighthouse. He's going to lead me to the shore. These things, we don't just sing them, you know. These are real truths, aren't they? Or they should be, shouldn't they, in our hearts? So we set our hearts after Jesus, not being popular with the world. So because sometimes when we set our hearts after Jesus, it will come and be at odds with everybody else. But we've got the hope that's within us. So it's a choice we make in our hearts. Jesus once said about our hearts, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be, isn't it? And it's what we treasure. Do we treasure the love of man and the love of people and the love of our family and everybody else who's not Christian? Do we treasure that more than Jesus? If we treasure Jesus, we'll live a life that it witnesses for him without even realising it. Because it's the Holy Spirit that will help us to do that. So where's your treasure? Where's yours? It will affect how we witness. If we think Jesus is wonderful, he's not just somebody... church isn't just a club we go to. The Bible isn't just a book that we read. But this is my relationship with Jesus. If he means something to me, then it will affect the way we live. We can't help it. Like those disciples, we can't help witnessing to what we've seen and heard. Not because we'll be chatterboxes, but just in everything that we do, it will be like that. So witnessing is from the heart. It comes from our heart. It comes from a beautiful life. A beautiful life. That was in the book that goes with this series that I told you about at the beginning and some of you have read. The writer talks about what Peter's talking about is living a beautiful life. And I thought it was a lovely phrase. A life of beauty that draws questions. So witnessing is from the heart, but it's also from a beautiful life that draws questions to ourselves. Peter says a lot about it in a world that doesn't want to know Christ and doesn't want to know religion and doesn't want to know faith in God and all the rest of it. He says one of the ways you win them over is by doing good. Not just good deeds, although it does include doing good deeds, but doing the good that God wants you to do, to be in the good that God wants you to be. He mentions it loads of times in his letter, doing good. Be the best citizen you can be. Be the best person in your office or your work or your school or whatever it is. Be the one who doesn't kick up a fuss about everything. Be the one who's calm and full of joy. We'll look at that in a second. Because we belong to Jesus and we know our hope is in him, not in all these other things. We don't get as stressed as everybody else. We don't get as fearful as everybody else. We don't get as down as everybody else. We might have periods of that, but we don't stay there because our hope is in Christ. It's different. And that's doing good. It's like when you go to a house or a room or a place, is the place that you go to better because you've gone there? That's a great question to ask. Somebody once asked me that. When you go somewhere, is the place, are you going to leave the place better than it was when you first went? And that's what he says. And that's what Peter's saying to us here. It's like that. It's that kind of different. Intentionally, confidently living a gospel-centered life. That Christ is the centre of my heart and he's the centre of my life. And I don't make any apology for it because it's wonderful. I'm intentionally living like that. I go out trying to be good. I go out thinking, Lord, help me to be the good in this world today. If it's good deeds, great. If it's practical and things like that, brilliant. But if it's just being a good person around people, I think it's in Thessalonians where Paul writes them. Yeah, and he says, do your best to live a quiet life, a life of obedience. Obey those in authority over you. He says it all the way through, because these are times when it's not easy to do that. And I would even dare to say, you know, when everybody we all know what most of us think something similar about our prime minister. But when everyone else is bashing him, why should we join in? You know, it's not that we support him and we agree with everything that he does. But maybe we should be talking about praying for him rather than bashing him. Maybe we should be talking about other things like that. The negative stuff that goes on social media. I know many of you might not be involved in that, but if you are, don't get involved in it. Be the good, not the bad. Don't join in with the mob in that sense. Making the Titus, Paul's letter to Titus, he says, listen, what you need to do is do your best to make the gospel attractive. If you're a moaning mini all the time or a negative Nancy or whatever you want to call yourself, what other things you can think of? If you're the one who's always leading the charge and the moans and the gripes and everything else, if you're the one who makes the place, brings the mood down whenever you go in the place, it's not making the gospel attractive, is it? And that's what, so it's little things like that, being intentionally God. And the only way we can do that is if we revere Christ or set apart Christ in our hearts. Because all this might be a pain and our leader might be morally bankrupt and all the rest of it. But our hope is not in him, it's in Christ. And we celebrate that. And we rejoice in that. And so we look beyond that and say, God's got a purpose in this. Whatever it might be. So it's not by being perfect, any of this. It's just by living in the grace that God gives us and showing that grace to other people. That's how it probably be described. Displaying grace, not being fearful, but trusting in God for everything and being joyful. Boy, have we lost the joy. Sometimes, you know, if you're on social media, you'll scrolling through and you'll sometimes get a picture, and often it's a cat, all right? They're the things to do. And a cat's doing some cute thing and it says, oh, Twitter needs this today because everyone's being so negative. Let's rejoice at the cat. Well, I mean, cats are great. I mean, you've had cats all the time and everything like that, except when you dig the claws into your legs when they're trying to nest down. But, you know, cats are cats, aren't they? We have a much greater thing to rejoice in. We need to be the good that changes the atmosphere, that says something different. And we display it in grace. The world knows nothing of grace. The world wants to punish people and wants justice, and rightly so. But the world also these days wants to just have, there's no way back. You've erred, you've gone wrong, and that's it. You are out. You are cancelled, as they call it. And that's the end of it. Christians, we should be different to that. That's what Peter's saying. You live a life that's different to that. You live a life that sets apart Christ in your heart. And what did Christ show you? He didn't throw you out and kick you into the outer darkness and leave you there. He came after you and won you and brought you back to himself and showed you grace. Shouldn't you be doing that to other people? I tell you, that's transformative. In the office, in the home, out in the street, wherever you are. It's transformative. Displaying grace, not being fearful because we know who's in charge. And these are just three things. And being joyful, choosing to be joyful, choosing to look at the things we can be joyful about. And I know that's not always easy because life is difficult and it's tough. But we can do that if we set apart Christ in our hearts to some extent. And this kind of living will prompt questions. And Peter says then, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. If you don't look any different to anybody else or live and you react the same as everybody else, then nobody's going to ask you for the reason of the hope because you haven't got any. It looks, you're just the same as us. But we need to be different, don't we? And it starts with setting apart Christ. And it continues with us being intentional to do that. Wanting to do it and wanting to live that. Always be prepared to give an answer. Give an answer means to defend our faith in Christ or the hope that's within us. And sometimes we get a bit scared by that. We think we've all got to be apologists and know loads of stuff. I've got to be able to know loads about science and creation, or I've got to know loads about theology and doctrine. No, you don't. Remember what we said. Christ, is, what the Bible's encouraging us to be is witnesses to what we know, we do know. And it might not be as much as a scientist and things, but it doesn't matter. It's what God has done with, for us. And I've said many times before, the man or the woman with an experience is never going to be at the mercy of a man with an argument because you've proved it. And that's all that you need to know. So that's what it means. Give a defense for the hope that I have within me is because of Jesus. Nothing else. It's because I know there's a God and he's in charge. And so Boris may be making a mess of everything in this country. I may be doing all sorts of things that everybody hates and we don't like him and all the rest of it, blah, 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 if that's you. But I know that God is his judge, not me. Yes, of course, we have a role to play in that, but God is the one who's in charge of things and he is looking, and you know, it will be okay in the end. I know it will be because God told me it will. Not necessarily here on earth, but in heaven. My future is safe with him. It's transformative, isn't it? It's how we should think. You don't have to know all the answers. We just explained that it's because of Jesus and he's given us hope in a world that is hopeless, frankly. And that's transformative, isn't it? Look at the words again in that verse. Always. There's never a good day to evangelize. It's never a perfect day to be a witness. It, you know, it'll always be they'll catch you off guard and ask you the question, oh, not now. And you're feeling rubbish and things are going wrong and you're feeling a bit rough and you don't feel that God is all that great today because it's one of those days when things have been difficult. And you're really trying hard. And then somebody says that to you and you think, crumbs, I've got out of all of that, I've got a witness. There's never a good day. Jesus, most of his Jesus teaching and what he did, he was on the way somewhere. He was on the way to do something else when somebody stops him and he spends time with them. And I guess we've got to be prepared to do that. And being prepared means just to set our hearts on Christ and to know what he means to us and remind ourselves constantly by gathering with other Christians, by going to life groups, if you like, if that's you, by singing and worshipping together, by opening our Bible each day and just reminding ourselves of how wonderful it is to be a follower of Jesus. That's how we can be prepared. And we do it to everyone at any time. And a reason, I give a reason. The reason is Jesus. It's only him in this way. But it starts in the heart, doesn't it? Finally, witnessing is intentional. Witnessing, we've mentioned that word a few times. Always be ready. We need to want to be witnesses. We don't want to hide our light under a bushel, as it were. We want to be witnesses. And sometimes we need to always be ready. Sometimes it'll be an event in church that we can invite people to. Sometimes it will be just an opportunity for a conversation about something that's going on in somebody's life. And you have an opportunity to talk about something that maybe is you relate to it, but how Christ has helped you. Whatever it might be, always be ready. Always prepared. It's just ordinary life. It'll happen in ordinary life. In Acts chapter 2 and 42, we read about that very early church that met together and how wonderful it seemed to be, you know, joyful and everything. They all met together in each other's home daily. They broke bread together, prayed and fasted and all sorts of wonderful things, and many people were joining it, and loads of people wanted to be a part of it. And in a sense, that is descriptive of a moment in time, but it also sets the tone for what can happen when we set apart Christ in our hearts. And so we see that, but and amazingly, if you, when we studied the book of Acts, and we did a big long series of it, so hopefully you can remember every single Sunday of that, but when we studied that book of Acts, one of the things that was so amazing about that was that most of the witnessing, and that there was people coming to Christ all the time. Paul and Peter and them were only involved in some of those. The majority of it was done by ordinary folk like you and I, just being who they were. And we don't know the names of any of them. But witnessing, telling people what they'd seen and heard of Jesus. It's all normal life. And the book that we read, and it reminds us that we all have, that we've got with this series, Love Your Church. It reminds us that we've all got networks. There was a very good little section in the book about that. We've all got people who we can be intentionally ready to witness to. So the networks were, I think they've probably come up on the screen, vocational, people at work and at school, family, our relationships, people in our family, recreational people, people we join, we do with hobbies or interests, or we join up with clubs and things like that. And maybe if we aren't in that, maybe we should think about doing something like that. And then there's the commercial thing we're talking about, when you're doing your everyday business at the school, at the shops, or wherever it might be. So many, you know, in many churches, the best witness of all is being at the school gates when you've got a baby in a pram and you've got somebody to talk to. The other one is having a dog. I mean, I'm not recommending everyone gets a dog, but if you're walking a dog through the park, loads of people want to stop and talk to you. And you wouldn't normally get a conversation out of anyone, but you do there. And so it's everyday business in things like that, isn't it? Just through those contacts that we have. And it says, and also it's, I've just lost the place there. Yeah, geographical, neighbours, people who live down your street, people who live near where you are. God's put you in a place and time for now. And this is your Judea and Samaria and everything else. It's all here. We're not talking about Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. We're talking about Rainhill today or wherever you live and your little hinterland of networks. And they're the people God's put you there to witness to. And you are doing it. But let's be intentional about it as well. How can we be intentional? It takes patience and faithfulness. It's not going to happen overnight, probably, but we do that. So we're ready. We pray for them. Do you pray for your neighbours, for your, those people in your networks? We invite them to things when things are on, to come and meet your friends at church. We have the courage to invite them to something. We serve them just by doing, being good, being the good in their life. Serving people. We resource them if there's something good, books and things like that you could perhaps pass on to them in their difficulties or whatever it might be. And but ultimately, we share the gospel with them when the chance will arise, as it surely will. And it will take faith and patience, but that's how we are to be witnesses for Jesus. A whole life of witness for Jesus, not just a campaign for 2 weeks, but a whole life. That's what Peter's calling us to here. And if we love our church, we will be a witnessing community. The church community is a witness. So we witness in community as well. You don't have to do it on our own. Our church is a body, people with many different gifts. You might feel really shy about talking, might not be very articulate or whatever, but maybe you can cook. So you cook a meal, you invite people around, and you invite the one who's gobby in the church around to come and talk about the faith or whatever. Whatever it might be, but we use our gifts. We work together. We join a club together. We go and do something else together so that we together can be a witness. We do it. See, this is what means to be intentional. We think about how can we reach the people in our networks in this way. We've got many gifts in our church. We need to use them in this way. And so you look at, in again, John chapter 1, Jesus, and he calls the disciples, and their method was basically going to the people that they knew and said, come and see Jesus. Come and see who we've met. And then there's Matthew, remember in Luke chapter 5, Levi, who comes, he's a tax collector, and he arranges a party for all his tax collector mates and invites Jesus to him. These are pictures of how we should be witnesses in the world. There's lots more we could say. And maybe you can talk about it more when you go to Life Group this week. Hopefully you'll go and you'll be able to share these things. We do it together. So as we finish this morning, let's ask some questions of ourselves. What kind of witness are you? You were to take stock of that. What would people see of you? And sometimes we're not the best gauge of that because we think we're terrible witnesses when actually other people are thinking something different to that. They think that, you know, they can see something that's different about us. But if you were to think about yourself, what sort of witness are you? And why do you think that is? Are there some changes that you need to make about being more intentional or setting apart Christ in your heart a bit more? To be more joyful and to be the good and the one that lights up the place rather than brings darkness? What would a beautiful life look like for you? What would it be? What changes would you need to make? What makes your life not so attractive to others, to non-Christians perhaps, to non-believers? Does your life hinder or help? It's questions I've asked myself as I've thought about this. Are we attractive for the gospel? How can we be more intentional with our networks as you go about each day? Who, maybe even identifying who those people are. Stuff we'll do in life groups this week will help us perhaps think through some of these things. Encourage you to go, but certainly to think about it. The notes are out there on the on the desk as you go out. God, we are called to be witnesses. You will be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and on the uttermost parts of the world. And that's a guarantee. We are that. That's what God's given us through his Spirit. And our duty and our response to love, if we love Christ and love his church and love his people and we want this church to grow, then we need to be witnesses wherever we are. Good witnesses. Doing good. Reflecting Jesus. Setting him apart in our hearts. And being intentional about the ordinary stuff that we do in our life to take the opportunities when they come. Let's pray for those things, shall we? Let's bow our heads and just reflect on that this morning before we sing to close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning and the challenge. Lord, we are challenged to be witnesses for you. Lord, we confess sometimes our life hasn't been that different to everybody else's. Lord, we confess sometimes we haven't been that attractive for the gospel. Lord, we are human and we fail, and we know that you understand that, and we know that you will forgive us. But Lord, as we hear your word this morning and seek to put it into practice, Lord, help us to set you apart in our hearts, to be so full of you, Lord, that it will flow out of us, and we will, perhaps intentionally or otherwise, make a difference where we are. But Lord, we do help us, Lord, we pray, to be intentional about witnessing, to think about our responsibility to share the good news with other people, in whatever way we can do that. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.